joining me to talk a little Texas political news. And there's, you know, one or two stories out there about Texas political news. Matt Mikowiak, mustreadtexas.com, GOP political strategist. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Chad. Doing great. Good morning.
Well, where do we start? Let's see. You know, this whole document leaking and then email from Jerry Patterson implicating David Dewhurst, the Dewhurst camp, trying to stay away from this from these documents that were released, that Dan Patrick had depression issues back in the 1980s, had, I guess, according to one document, maybe attempted suicide back in the 80s. This blew up over the weekend. And really, nobody is happy about this, it seems. People are blaming David Dewhurst or blaming Jerry Patterson, but it doesn't seem like this is hurting Dan Patrick at all.
Yeah, that's my sense of it too. I don't know that it is helping him because or hurting Dan Patrick. I think it happened, you know, so late. I mean, people forget that it takes time for these kinds of stories to penetrate. For them to sink in, for people to hear about them, for them to talk about them, for them to think about them and consider, you know, whether it impacts how they're going to vote or not. And so you can't just launch something like this, you know, Thursday or Friday before early voting with the primary runoff being the day after Memorial Day. The expectation is that early vote is going to be well more than half of the primary vote in the runoff. So, you know, I just think at the end of the day, this did seem like dirty politics. It did happen so late. And, you know, even Dewhurst is kind of saying, you know, Patterson did this, my affections. I don't think this, you know, this has been put out there. So, you know, I think that it was probably a little bit dirty, you know, a little bit too late, and something that, you know, if this was something that happened 5 years ago, that may be more relevant mm-hmm. to whether State Senator Dan Patrick would be an effective lieutenant governor or not. But if you're talking about something that happened in the 1980s, his own campaign has said he has not had additional mental health treatment or more medication for mental health since that time, since almost 30 years ago. So this is so far back, it's very hard to see how this is relevant to anything.
Well, let me ask you, if this story would have come out, say a month ago, right after the initial vote, if this story would have come out, do you think this is even the type of story, the type of information that would have made a lot of voters give pause? I mean, again, 5 years ago is one thing, 30 years ago is another, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think the American people's understanding of mental health is changing. You know, I think 5 or 10 years ago, I think there was a different view of someone who maybe was suffering from depression, someone who had sought, you know, mental health treatment. I think given everything we're learning, everyone knows someone who's dealing with these kinds of issues. And keep in mind, 30 years ago, mental health treatment was much less advanced than it is today. I mean, the kinds of things that maybe you went to a facility for 30 years ago today would be treated with prescription drugs and not be considered all that significant probably. So, you know, again, I just, you hate to see campaigns go, you know, so hard negative and so personal. But that's kind of the stage that we're at. You know, tempers are pretty high. There's some very strong feelings on both sides of this thing. There's a lot that's at stake and the race is coming down to the wire.
Do you see any way that this, you know, I think that, and I've thought this for a while, that Patrick's going to win this thing in the runoff. Do you think this hurts Dewhurst even more where it drags his numbers down and maybe people just, those who are on the fence, this turns them towards Patrick?
It could. Yeah, I think it could. I think it probably, you know, if anything, what it does is it sort of solidifies Patrick's vote. You know, his supporters are more motivated. They don't want this to be seen as something that is, you know, diminishing their enthusiasm for him.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a lot of people who have, I mean, I know my own sister who works in the mental health area, you know, was so outraged by this that it kind of helped her make up her own personal decision and how she was going to vote in the primary. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just think that for a lot of people, I just don't see a lot of people, you know, hearing this news and saying, oh, my God, I was going to vote for Dan Patrick. Now I'm not going to because of something that happened 30 years ago. If anything, it helps sort of, you know, humanize him and make him seem as someone who is overcoming something rather than someone who should be sort of disqualified from service.
Right. Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, MustReadTexas.com. One of the other big news stories over the weekend, and it hasn't officially been announced, I guess, but it's basically been confirmed that the mayor of San Antonio, Julian Castro, is going to be the next secretary of HUD. Big news because this adds to the resume for him as far as a possible VP contender going into 2016.
Yeah, I mean, this is big news because for a number of reasons, right? I mean, remember, Castro, he noted, headlined the Democratic National Convention. He is a, you know, sort of larger-than-life figure as the mayor of San Antonio, but as you sort of dig into it a little bit, there's a lot to consider here, and I'm actually fairly puzzled as to why he would take this particular cabinet slot, which I believe is really kind of a dead end politically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you look into the San Antonio mayor's office, it turns out they have a very weak mayor's office system. They have a city manager that really runs things day to day. His office only pays $4,000 a year. He has to do paid speeches to earn enough money to live off of. So, you know, there's a little bit of a fairy tale aspect to the mayoralty under Julian Castro. I think from his perspective, you know, he thought that being in the cabinet would be a much better position for him to be considered a vice presidential candidate with Hillary. He'll go through, obviously, the full vetting, the FBI background check, the Senate confirmation hearing. He'll be able to work on these issues, these housing issues and urban development issues that the left-wing base finds, you know, very, very important. So, you know, is it better than being mayor? I mean, he's already been mayor, so, you know, I don't know that he was going to continue to gain anything from that. But being in the cabinet is not, you know, what it was once cracked up to be. And if you're not at defense, justice, you know, or state, or even Treasury, you know, you really are in sort of a second category. And so I just wonder about this. Is he going to, number one, enjoy this opportunity? Is he not going to get lost at HUD? He won't be raising money. He won't be doing a lot of political work because he's in the cabinet and he'll be barred from doing that. So I really just am kind of puzzled as to why HUD would be something that he'd be motivated to go do. I think he's more motivated more about being in the cabinet than he is about being at HUD.
Well, and you know, this was what he was approached 1 or 2 years ago about going into the cabinet. He wasn't interested at that time. I'm kind of with you in the fact that you get lost if you're not in one of the big positions. You know, nobody before Julian Castro, at least in Texas, could probably name the Secretary of HUD. I mean, it was one of those where you don't know who a lot of these folks are. You know, I tend to wonder, you know, since San Antonio is one of these promise zones and you have these promise zones that are popping up, if that's going to have much to do with HUD, and if Julian Castro is going to be one of those that, you know, is kind of the highlighted figure leading one of these promise zone type of areas. I don't know, but it's possible, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and so to help, you know, these Texas, not just San Antonio. Yeah, he was offered Secretary of Transportation, I think, the year. Of course, he had he was, I believe, maybe it was last year. He was sort of right in the mix of being running for another term as mayor, and he felt like he wanted to make sure that he was elected mayor. And of course, now this forces the city of San Antonio that their own 10-member city council has to elect an interim mayor from their own membership. So, you know, again, I mean, I can understand the appeal of Washington, his twin brothers up there, you know, that's national politics. I just, you know, again, and the other thing to add is that his mentor has been Henry Cisneros, former mayor of San Antonio, former HUD secretary, the person who was at one time thought to be likely to be the first Hispanic president in the United States. And Cisneros was really counseling him to go to the cabinet, that he needed that credential, and that, of course, since he was at HUD, I'm sure he was in a position to encourage Castro to really strongly consider HUD. And so I think transportation probably would have been a better position, but I guess it sounds like the timing of it didn't work for Castro at the time.
Does this give him a better shot at that VP nod, you think?
I guess. I mean, that seems to be the calculation. That's what all the, you know, all the reporting seems to indicate. I just have a very difficult time thinking that if Hillary is 69 years old and she becomes president and has had a history of some health problems, that you can make the argument that, you know, the former mayor of San Antonio, who was earning $4,000 a year in a weak mayor's office, and a person who served, you know, a year, year and a half, or 2 years as HUD secretary, is prepared to be commander in chief if something happens. I don't see that. If he's HUD secretary now and that leads to something else in a cabinet, something higher, that maybe that makes sense. But I don't really see it. But a lot of other people do.
Well, Matt, I think that's a good argument against Julian Castro's VP, what you just laid out. Tell folks a little bit about what you'll be updating on the website and also the newsletter as well.
Yeah, absolutely. MustReadTexas.com. We put all the top news, opinion, blog items from across the state of Texas on the one website. Obviously, early voting starting today, Monday through Friday of this week, and the primary runoff occurring Tuesday. A lot of attention on the lieutenant governor's runoff, the attorney general runoff, some local races. We'll have it all on that site. You can also sign up for our daily email, which 6,000 people get every single day.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much.
Take care, Ted.
Have a good one. That's Matt Mikowiak, MustReadTexas.com.